QST from W1AW, the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio in Newington, Connecticut. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for September 20th, 2017. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland, and I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, Historic Storms Response Coverage, Hit-and-Run Driver Stymied by Traffic, Two U.S. Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, Apps of Interest to Aries Operators, Letters, Reflections of Hurricane Operations, Present and Past, Psychological First Aid Class held in Orange County, California, Major Active Shooter Drill held in Washington State, and finally we have Observations on Hurricane Harvey Response. Those are the headlines. Now, here are the stories. First, Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, Historic Storms Response Coverage. For extensive coverage of Aries and other amateur service organizations' responses to the mega-disasters created by Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, you may go online and click on ARRL.org/hurricane-irma-2017 and ARRL.org/hurricane-harvey-response. I'll repeat those URLs. They are ARRL.org/hurricane-irma-2017 and ARRL.org/hurricane-harvey-response. These pages contain news reports, summaries of resources, and links to other key components of the Mammoth Disaster's response. If you were or are involved as a volunteer radio operator, please send your reports of activity to your section emergency coordinator so that the amateur response effort for these two disasters can be fully documented for numerous purposes, including lessons learned and spectrum defense in the future. It's important. Thank you. And here's a reminder for all ARRL volunteers from Dan Henderson, N1ND, the ARRL Regulatory Information Manager. As requests are received asking for amateurs to travel to the areas affected by Hurricane Irma, ARRL officials are reminded that to be covered under the Volunteer Protection Act or the Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, between ARRL and the American Red Cross, requests for volunteers must be submitted through established ARRL and/or Aries channels. Volunteers wishing to offer their services in disaster relief need to go through the proper established channels. Any self-deployment or requests made outside of the established channels are not covered under ARRL's agreements and may not be subject to the provisions of the Volunteer Protection Act. Hit-and-run driver stymied by traffic. On Monday, August 21st, when the Great American Eclipse had passed over central Oregon, a mass exodus of vehicles of every description soon crowded U.S. Highway 395 southbound from the John Day and Prairie City area toward the town of Burns, Oregon, and on across the desert to destinations in Nevada and California. In late afternoon, Lane Johnson, KE7KIB, a member of the Harney County Aries in Burns, was monitoring the High Desert Amateur Radio Group's 2-meter linked repeater system when he heard a mobile call from a California-bound eclipse watcher, Dustin Yu, W6YUE. Mr. Yu reported that he had witnessed an accident in the column of traffic several miles north of Burns, in which a green Land Rover had collided with a white Chevy Suburban. While people were assisting the Suburban, the Land Rover fled the scene. but a fast getaway was impossible on the narrow two-lane highway in heavy traffic. Mr. Yu said that the Land Rover was still about 15 cars behind him, nearing the town of Burns. Mr. Johnson asked him to stand by while he called 911 on the telephone. To simplify the exchange with the Harney County 911 dispatcher, Mr. Johnson relayed her questions to W6YUE on the radio. He put the phone up to the radio's speaker so she could hear his replies directly. It worked beautifully. Mr. Yu gave her the details of the accident, plus a description and license number of the Land Rover, and she said she would give that information to the police. In about 20 minutes, Mr. Yu called again on the radio and said that the state police had stopped the Land Rover. Later it was learned that two persons, one male and one female, were arrested and jailed on hit-and-run and DUI charges. Justice was done. Our thanks to Lane Johnson, KE7KIB, in Burns, Oregon, for this report. It's time to take a short break for a few seconds. Please stand by. We'll be right back. Now here's more of the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for September 20th, 2017. Two U.S. Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, apps of interest to Aries operators. Here are two good apps from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Office of Emergency Communications, that is DHS-OEC, that may be of interest to Aries members. The first is https://www.dhs.gov/safecom, and safecom is written as one word, /enifog-mobile-app. And the second one is https://www.dhs.gov/safecom, written as one word, /casm-mobile-finder. Now, I know they are long URLs, so let me repeat them. The first one is https://www.dhs.gov/safecom, one word, /enifog-mobile-app. And the second is https://www.dhs.gov/safecom, one word, /casm-mobile-finder. We wish to thank Barry Porter, KB1PA, the Southern Florida Public Information Officer, for telling us of these DHS websites. Letters, reflections on hurricane operations present and past. Julio Ripoll, WD4R, the assistant manager of the National Hurricane Center, or NHC, amateur radio station, WX4NHC, wrote to tell us, "I operated the amateur radio station WX4NHC at the National Hurricane Center in Miami for Hurricane Harvey. My shift was very long on Friday night, August 25th, when Harvey made landfall in Texas. As I tuned into the weak signals, I could sense the stress in the voices I heard through the static of the radio. As the hurricane winds got closer to land, fewer and fewer signals were heard, and then there were none. I assumed operators in the storm's path lost power, antennas, or both. I could not escape the images in my mind of what they were going through. The howling of the wind, the darkness, the crashing noises, the crying children, and remembering 25 years ago when Hurricane Andrew took the roof off my house. I watched the back-to-back forecasts and satellite images as Harvey rapidly strengthened from barely a tropical storm into a major Category 4 hurricane in a very short time. As Harvey approached the Texas coast that night, we had a sense of the devastation that would result from the 130-mile-an-hour winds and possible storm surge. But when it slowed down and then stalled over the Rockport and Houston area, the rain forecasts went off the charts. The flooding would be historic. The reports we receive over amateur radio sometimes filled in the gaps in the weather data and were valuable ground-level eyewitness reports. We are very grateful for the support of our volunteer WX4NHC operators, the Hurricane Watch Net, the VOIP Hurricane Net, and for all of the amateur operators who sent reports from the affected area and for those who relayed them. The work I witnessed by the hurricane specialists and National Hurricane Center staff was extraordinary. The ongoing work of the first responders and volunteers rescuing people from their flooded homes was inspiring. Everyone worked hard and worked together to help save lives. Our thoughts and prayers remain with the people affected by Hurricane Harvey. Thank you, Julio, for your letter. Like you, we want to add that our thoughts and prayers remain with the people affected by Hurricane Harvey, and now Hurricanes Irma and Maria. Psychological First Aid Class Held in Orange County, California. According to an article published in the HDSCS News Report, recently members of Orange County, California's Hospital Disaster Support Communication System, or HDSCS, had the opportunity to attend a class on psychological first aid put on by the Behavioral Medicine Section of the Orange County Healthcare Agency. The class addressed not only ways to deal with the psychological issues of victims in a major emergency, but also understanding that the caregivers and helpers in those situations can often become victims themselves. Ways to deal with those issues were provided. In another presentation, HDSCS member Dr. Sam Stratton, W5AGX, the medical director of Orange County Emergency Medical Services, will discuss the hospital It's Not What You See on TV on Saturday, September 16th at the ARRL Southwestern Division Convention in Torrance, California. Dr. Stratton will share five key factors that are crucial for amateur radio operators to understand when providing communications support to medical facilities. Please let us know if your repeater is airing the Audio Aries e-letter, or if you're listening to it via social media, by sending an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. Please include the method by which you're listening. That email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. And if you don't mind, please copy your email to the ARRL Aries e-letter editor, Rick Palm, k1ce@arrl.net, in your note. I'll repeat Rick Palm's email address. It is k1ce@arrl.net. And we'd like to note that Bill Large, KD9HLN, in Thiensville, Wisconsin, wrote to tell us that he listens to the Audio Aries e-letter via a podcast. Well, thanks for letting us know, Bill. We like feedback. Keep listening, and 73. As you know, repeaters have to identify every so often. In order to meet this requirement, we'll pause once again for station identification. Sit tight. We'll be right back. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for September 20th, 2017. Now we'll continue with Major Active Shooter Drill held in Washington State. On Thursday, August 24th, the Olympic Peninsula in the northwest corner of Washington State came alive in preparation for an active shooter exercise. The exercise took place on the Peninsula College campus in Port Angeles, Washington, and was planned and coordinated by the Clallam County Sheriff's Department and the Port Angeles Police Department. This exercise was the largest of its kind conducted on the peninsula and included participation from federal, state, county, city, and tribal authorities and public service organizations all over the area, including ARES. Every single aspect of the exercise was exact and real in every detail. Communications between the people controlling the exercise was assigned to the Clallam County ARES group, who are a part of the Sheriff's Emergency Services Unit. This kept all normal emergency communications resources open for official use. ARES operators were assigned to man the hospital and reunification centers that were off-site. On-site ARES operators were assigned to the staging area and were also assigned to shadow the college safety manager and the exercise commander. Some of the members and their families were also volunteer victims and witnesses. ARES personnel are proud to have been part of this exercise, and lessons were learned that will help when our services are needed again. Thanks to Joe Wright, KG7CWG, Clallam County, Washington, ARES, for this report. And finally, we have Observations on Hurricane Harvey Response by Mike Urich, KA5CVH, the Assistant SEC and PIO for the ARRL South Texas Section and Harris County ARES. The public safety agencies along the Gulf Coast have done a lot over the past 10 years to make their communications systems, including radio and internet, more robust and hardened for integrity in major storm events. Their efforts, combined with the FCC requirement for narrow banding and the addition of digital modes at the same time, have made these systems more complex, yielding more possible points of failure. But in the end, in both the Greater Houston and Golden Triangle portions of the Texas Gulf Coast, Hurricane Harvey did not knock out, nor significantly impact, the cellular telephone and data networks, or the 700 MHz and 800 MHz trunked public safety communication service systems. There were some threats, but no significant impact. ARES and RACES operators were prepared, in place, staffed, and ready to go if needed. Mr. Urich continues, "My concern is that not only will our served agencies find themselves lured into a false sense of security, so will the amateur radio community. We amateur operators have the ability to, and must, control one side of that equation. That is, we can continue to train, practice, and exercise. We can complete the courses, Introduction to Emergency Communication, Public Service and Emergency Communications Management for Radio Amateurs, and ARRL Public Relations. In addition, we can take and complete the FEMA Independent Study Courses IS-100, IS-200, IS-700, IS-800, and IS-026. Both ARES and RACES leaders should add IS-300 and IS-400 courses to their resume. All should get into a DHS OXCOM class. Leaders should try to take the DHS COM-L course even if they never get DHS certified. As PIOs who also wear an ARES RACES hat, they should take the FEMA IS-042 and the GS-289, GS-290, and GS-291 courses. In addition to the educational portion described above, we also need to continue to practice our on-air skills. Personally, Mr. Urich says, I find that most nets are not fulfilling their potential in the practicing of emergency and disaster response communication skills. To help nets meet their potential, one action they could take is to hold at least one monthly session where all operators take their go kits to the field and check into the net. Every ham cannot go portable, but the more who can increases the utility of our organizations. The lowest common denominators for ARES RACES emergency disaster response are still the workhorse VHF UHF FM bands and the 40 and 75 meter phone bands. While the digital modes can certainly bring value, They cannot replace our lowest common denominators. Now we have done our part. How do we get our served agencies on board? We can't force them to do anything, and the more we try to force ourselves upon them, the more likely the chance to alienate them. It is my opinion that nothing does more to gain their respect than to show documented training from recognizable organizations. The bottom line is that every region of the country will be different, and there is no one simple answer. We all need to find what works best for our particular environments. Thanks, Mike, KA5CVH, for your observations. And that concludes this edition of the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for September 20th, 2017. If you would like to hear the audio e-letter online, you can go to arrl.org/aries-e-letter-audio-version and click on the date to which you would like to listen. That information again is arrl.org/aries-e-letter-audio-version and click on the date to which you would like to listen. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is an edited voice version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, please visit ARRL.org. If you have any questions about amateur radio in general or the ARRL, you may also write us via snail mail at ARRL, 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut, 06111, or you may give us a toll-free call at 1-888-277-5289. We are always happy to help answer your questions, and you need not be an ARRL member. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland, and I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2017 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved. 73.